I love that. As we look at the last week of Jesus' life here on earth and the events, or the last week before his crucifixion, and we look at his journey and his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, his cleansing of the temple. Now today, if you brought your Bibles, that's great. But guys, I'm really telling a story, and it's out of all the Gospels, so I'm not going to have a whole lot of scripture for you to follow, but it is in there, I promise you. But I won't have specific scripture readings. And we talk about Jesus cleansing the temple, and he turned over the tables of those that were exchanging money and selling doves and doing different things in the temple, and he got frustrated with it. But while he's driving people out, the scripture tells us the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and they were healed in the temple. So in one sense, he's driving people out one side. Why? So he could make use for people to come in the other side to be used for a house of worship and for healing. Now the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, they all gathered together and they were plotting to kill Jesus. And I thought, man, they're always together, that group of people. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the elders. And they all wanted evil for Jesus. They wanted to end his life. But one of his 12 disciples answered the call that they put out. He said, I'll betray him. I'll do it. He had spent time with Jesus and the other 11 disciples. But he said, I will betray Jesus. I will give him up to you guys for a pretty penny. Jesus was celebrating Passover with his disciples and instituted the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. In this last week, there were ups and downs, and we too believe that we have ups and downs, do we not? Our life here on earth will end at a certain point. But those of us who believe have hope, because our new life in Christ, with Christ, where we spend eternity, is already secured. Amen? But to get to that point, we do go through some ups and downs. You know, I asked Christian who hit him on the jaw this morning. He has some ups and downs as he's learning the hurdles. Had a little incident. Ups and downs and hurts and bumps and bruises. Yours is the only one that visible, Christian, so I used you. But we go through these ups and downs. We've got to prepare for it, right? Well, let's prepare this morning. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Not bad, but for a Resurrection Sunday, I kind of expected more. Let's try it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. That is exactly what I expected. Thank you so much. Now, sometimes it takes us a time or two to get to where we need to be, right? Adam had us do it two times. Oh, Lordy. It takes us a few times sometimes. Our Savior experienced those ups and downs as well. You know, Easter Sunday is special to me. My father was a pastor. They were always special Sundays. But here at Prayer of Faith, Easter Sunday was the first day my family walked through the doors of Prayer of Faith World Outreach. 24 years ago. And I thought, man, what a special place this church is to me today. Special friends and relationships. And it's amazing when we gather together for Easter. And I said, you know, Easter's coming up. Why don't we go to church? Because we were not a church attending family at the time. But I thought, here we are 24 hours later. 24 hours? 24 years. A little longer than 24 hours. And it's special. So don't ever underestimate the value of you inviting somebody to church. Because we're here because somebody invited us. Young people, listen up. More importantly, someone invited my daughter to youth group here. And because of her attendance here, we chose this church to come to on Easter Sunday. Well, she's going there every Wednesday. Why don't we just go there and check it out? And here we are. course, I don't think my wife or I could expect all the wonderful things that God has blessed us with and all the things that He had done. We weren't at that place in our life. Possibly today you're here saying, I don't have many things on my mind of what God's going to do for me. I'm telling you, open your mind up, and the possibilities are endless. Now, Jesus, we celebrated Palm Sunday last week. The party's over. Well, there's a few remnants left behind showing that something happened here. Probably where Jesus walked, there were a few trampled coats left in the mud or the sand or the dirt. Some things had taken place. And I thought with our foot washing the other night, very intimate setting, did anyone recognize there were the same amount of people at our foot washing service as there were when Jesus did His foot washing? I'm okay with that. Jesus said, here's my 12, and I make 13. There were 13 of us here for the foot washing service, but it was very special and very powerful. And as Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, or the Last Supper, and He washed the feet of His disciples and said, I do this as an example. And then after that, He went out into the garden and said, come with me. I'm going there to pray. And He said, stay alert. Stay awake. You stay here. I'm going over there to pray. And He brought three of His disciples with Him when He went off to pray separate from the other disciples. But each time He walked back, they were asleep. And He said, can you not stay awake? Can you not keep watch? And I'm sure He thought, wake up! Wake up, disciples! And I think today He's saying the same thing. Can you not stay awake? Wake up! You who are spiritually dead, wake up! He said, I'm tired of you showing up for the party and then you're over in the corner sleeping while I'm doing work. That's Jesus, not me. While I'm doing work, stay awake, His Scripture tells us. Be alert, His Scripture tells us. Be vigilant, His Scripture tells us. So as He's there in the garden, He said, they're coming for me. And they came and Judas betrayed Him with a kiss and they arrested Jesus. Before He went to the Last Supper, He predicted Peter's denial. He said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. But He didn't just tell Peter that. He told all His disciples. He said, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Jesus said, you came looking for me. Let these people go. And His disciples, they went. But He told them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me. But Peter said, even if the rest of those weak disciples, I'm paraphrasing there, even if the rest of those weak disciples will, I will never be made to stumble. Anyone ever had that thought mentally? Lord, not me. No, I'm strong in my faith. I will not stumble. I will not fall. I will not betray you. Well, Peter, I got news for you. In one way or another, we all betray Him to a certain degree in a certain way. And we all say, not your will, but my will today, Jesus. I'm sorry. Because I'm just too tired. I've worked too hard. I deserve. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. Look at the time, Jesus. Even if everyone else will, I will never stumble. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Now, I don't know if Peter is arrogant or not, but he said yet again to the Savior, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all his disciples. Well, of course, what happens when you say never? It comes to happen. It comes to pass. It's just a matter of time. And the same thing here. When Jesus was arrested, Judas went out. Judas hung himself. We know that the crowd had the opportunity to free a criminal and exchange those people. And they said, free Barabbas, a well-known criminal. And Pilate said, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Well, you know, days before, that same crowd, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And that's where those branches went. Now it's a different crowd. Same Jesus, but the crowd is different today, chanting different things. And they're hollering out, crucify him, crucify him. Hang him on the cross. So they beat him. They stripped him. They put a scarlet robe on him, twisted a crown of thorns onto and into his head, and put a reed in his hand. And they mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. They spit on him and struck him in the head as they led him away. But then they made Jesus carry his own cross. Now I picture a cross much heavier than that. I've dragged that thing around a few times. It's pretty heavy. And after beating Jesus, whipping him, they said, go get that cross. Come on. We're going to hang you on it. Jesus, of course, being weakened, fell down finally and couldn't carry it anymore. And Simon from Cyrene came and they said, you, he was in the crowd, they said, you, pick up his cross and carry it. And he took it up to a place called Golgotha, which translated means the place of a skull. And a sign was placed above that, similar to what they said when they were mocking him. And the sign above him said, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. As they drove the spikes through Jesus' hands and hoisted the cross up with him hanging on it. They placed him between two thieves on the cross. And the two thieves, one mocking him and all the others saying, man, you're the Savior. Save yourself. You can save others, but you can't save yourself. If you are the Savior, bring yourself down. And one of the thieves mocked him. The other one said, we deserve what we are getting. But he has done nothing. And he said, remember me. And Jesus said, tonight you will be with me in paradise. Now Jesus, as he's hanging on the cross, hollered out in a loud voice and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now it was about the sixth hour and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus has cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly. Certainly, this man was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, they beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. We know from the scriptures that Joseph of Arimathea came. He said, I have a place. Can I take the body of our Savior? And he went and buried him there. And they thought, I remember he said, in 3 days, I will rise. Let's put some guards outside his tomb so his disciples don't come take him during the middle of the night and say, he's gone. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of our Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, as Kisha read earlier, and behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And then they remembered his words. Have you ever been in a pickle and thought, oh, what shall I do? Let me call my friends. Let me Google the answer to my woes. And then something happens and you say, oh, I remember the scripture to get me through this. Let me rely on that. Let me lean into that. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And I thought, could you imagine going and finding that big, massive stone rolled away? And someone telling you, why are you looking for that person here? Well, I'm in the cemetery. I'm looking for the dead person. He's alive. He's alive. And you won't find him here among the dead. And I thought, Christ overcame the grave. Now, I want to go back a little further before that. Jesus said earlier in his ministry, in Matthew chapter 16, he said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If anyone desires, if you have a desire to come after Jesus, you must deny yourself and take up his cross and follow him. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the soul of a man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Does anybody not have a white flag in their hand or next to them? Raise your hand if you do not have a white flag. Spence, will you get Susie one? Jonathan, do you both need one, Jonathan? Okay. Anyone else missing a white flag? David, probably anyone up on stage, maybe Christian, I don't know. Anybody else need a white flag? Susie. Right here, Spencer. I'm going to say somebody abandoned. Now, what does a white flag signify? Oh, we're doing good today. But let us be reminded, if it was easy, everybody would do it. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Wide is the gate and broad is the path that leads to destruction. Many go in by it. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. There are few that find it. That white flag is for you today. It is for you to say, God, you've overcome the grave. God, I surrender to you. And when I do that, I can pick up my cross and follow you. And pick up your cross. Today, as we pray, my opportunity for you is simply to say, God, I surrender. And I'm going to exchange my will or my life for your cross. All I want you to do is come and just stick it right in here. If it doesn't go in there easy, just lay it down on that. That's okay. It's heavy marble. No, it's styrofoam. It's styrofoam. And for Easter, all I want you to do is say, Jesus, I surrender my life. He had opportunity to get down from the cross. He had opportunity to call in help. He said, not my will, but your will be done. Maybe today you're not ready to do that. That's okay. I want you to hang on to that white flag as a reminder to focus on Jesus. And someday, that day may come where you say, Jesus, I surrender.
And you can put that flag up or down or wherever you want it. You can give it to one of us pastors. Say, I did it. Today's the day. My life has changed. But take that white flag home to be reminded. As we sing our last song, you can come up during the singing of that song and do that. I'm going to pray over you first. I pray today, again, if you're visiting with us, if you're normally here, that you stay and have fellowship with us afterwards. We'll have food here in the sanctuary. Yes, we'll have food in the sanctuary. I'll pray over our food. I would ask that our guests and those that need a little additional help, that they would go first. We would allow them to go first. And then there'll be plenty of food, plenty of time to eat it. So let's not be in a hurry, church, okay? I'm going to pray. And again, as we sing our song, I ask for you to come up if you choose. Put your flag up here. Say, I surrender. And take a cross of your choosing here to take with you. Let's bow our heads. Thank you.